SFJ 4x4 Studios presents.
In my oversized four-wheel drive Jeep.
A Jeep podcast starring industry experts.
Pure monosity. What? Say that again.
With mad scientist Scott Brown.
Use my drill press as a sort of lathe.
Our host, Neil Simpson.
If one light goes out, they all go out.
Filled with shenanigans.
We are really professional with Jeeps.
This is I Speak Jeep.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, wherever, however you are joining us. This is a special Total Eclipse of the Heart Jeep podcast on I Speak Jeep.
That's right. He made the dad joke.
The world's leading automotive off-road podcast. 35 countries, thousands of hours of listening. Thank you, all three of you people, for just jumping around the continent. For all three of them, listen to us in their ear holes. My name is Neil with SFJ4x4.com. Joined in Grandma's Couch Studio.
Jeff Shimani.
The Italian Stallion.
He just jumped at
He was ready.
I wasn't waiting for you, Scott. I'm sure today, Scott.
I had a flashback to when I was driving along and somebody just cut me off. Jeez.
Oh, buddy. And you, sir?
Are the maddest scientist, Scott Brown.
The maddest scientist. Up. Firing on people who are not sharing peace, love, and joy into the world right now.
Yes.
We need more of that.
It doesn't take much to be nice to people.
No, it doesn't. And
so there's nobody in the comments yet, and I'm wondering how many people...
You're traumatized.
No, how many people are rushing to get their work done early so they can go home and see the eclipse?
Yeah, totally. And I thought... I thought there'd be a handful of people, you know, hanging out and just chilling, waiting for us. But obviously, the priority is the once in 400 years, path of totality.
Yes.
Which, if you're one of our listeners from around the globe, you may or may not be aware of the fact that we are ourselves, our physical brick and mortar location, and where you're hearing us speak from today.
It's going to happen right here.
It's going to happen right here.
We are in the path.
Yes. We have almost 4 minutes of
3 minutes and 41 seconds
of darkness, apparently.
Jeff has that on lock.
Yeah, he does. He was researching his production value notes. And what was that movie, Pitch Black? Are the aliens going to come out? Do you remember Pitch Black, Vin Diesel?
Yeah.
I actually own the trilogy.
Chronicles of Riddick.
Chronicles of Riddick. There was actually a cartoon that tied the two movies together in Pitch Black.
Yeah.
Loved them. Yeah. Love them. Anything Vin Diesel is okay in my book.
The best meme I've seen about the eclipse so far, though, was it isn't actually the moon, it's the Death Star.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Conspiracy theory number 34571. Yes. It's not actually a moon. It's the Death Star coming.
Yes. And how many raptures have we lived through at this point? Is this another rapture is what I've been told?
Yep. Yeah, there's been the internet has been nothing shy of entertainment in the process.
There's a listener there. Rob, how you doing today? Good morning.
And it's important to note, folks, that you're listening in any Monday morning within reason, as long as we're scheduled. You, too, can join in live 10:19 a.m. on the Book of Faces.
And we got two more joining in now. Joe, good morning. Chip, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. So you can join in, listen, watch, view. We're going to be unpacking a lot of stuff that's going on with us. We're going to be doing some updates. We're going to be talking about some of our eclipse watching party paraphernalia, whatnot. I actually am adorned
sounds
by
good to me.
All I know is that you donned a new hat.
I have a fantastic hat on.
Homemade. So fits Grandma's couch because it's crocheted.
It is crocheted.
Yeah, but it's not crocheted by Grandma. It's by two burly men.
Hey. It's 2024. If you want to crochet, you should crochet.
Absolutely.
That is absolutely right. So we'll talk a little bit about the hat and some of the other goodies. And then we are going to talk about the concept of total eclipse of the heart.
Well hold on. I got to read Joe Brella's comment here. Joe Brella's saying, and everything under the sun is in tune, but the sun is eclipsed by the moon.
That's definitely lyrics.
Joe wins the internet for today so far.
Yeah.
And then Bill says, good morning, gentlemen. Justin, I forgot my hat today. I'm kind of about that, but that because it's cold, and my bald head. Well, it's supposed to be like 60 degrees today. So.
You're right. It's supposed to be the warmest day of the week.
It'll be good. It'll be all good, folks. So we're going to have a rip-roaring experience, and we're going to talk to you a little bit about that concept of total eclipse of the heart and the Jeep life, the Jeep culture. Obviously, we talk about this kind of as a recurring theme. But then next week, we're going to hit you with some tech talk. We're going to tech you to death, if you so choose. So this week is going to be more of a community.
What are we
going
to tech
them
to death about next week?
We're going to talk about automatic transmissions.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Modern automatic transmissions.
All the flavors.
All the flavors. And we'll be unpacking some of those experiences because we see transmission issues plaguing both the internet and the real world.
We're going to talk about that 8-speed.
Yep. So without particular further ado... Who's got what going on? Jeffrey, you got some big stuff happening in your life soon.
That's why I'm so fired up, is I've got so much going on. Literally yesterday we were in Erie yet again doing more errands. This time more for Kristen's choice, but we ended up doing some other errands for Heberly's Heartstrings. We ended up going over to my parents' house afterwards. They had about 10 baskets that a group of people met at my parents' and put all together.
Wow, nice.
For the basket raffle. So I got photos of those while we were there. So this is all for the April 19th, music competition, Jason Heberly Memorial open mic competition at Voodoo Brewery, downtown Erie.
Yep.
And we have 30 artists lined up. I literally just had somebody else in my inbox this morning going, "Hey, I realize I missed registration, but can I still register?" No, we're full,
right.
But I will keep you in mind.
Now, for weeks
we've
now.
We've been full for weeks now, but I'll keep
with
you in mind.
With the wait list, which
yep.
is cool.
Yep. You're on the wait list in case somebody were to drop out for whatever reason. Things happen in life. We get it. So that's all going down. I've been, planning all that, printing all the flyers, getting table tents set up for it. It's just a lot going on. And it's exciting. So yesterday we were going over to my parents' house and we're like, "Hey,
so
we're gonna..."
You said you were in Erie.
Yes.
Were you stuck in bumper to bumper traffic because everybody was?
No, I was not. It was actually pretty normal traffic on a Sunday for Peach Street.
Yeah.
What I can tell you is that is the most RV traffic I have ever seen in that area.
Isn't that interesting?
There were flights coming in. Erie reported 150 private jets coming into the Erie airport.
Who are all these private jets?
Businesses.
Who's got PJ money in 2024? I can't barely buy groceries.
So they're saying that there is confirmation of 250,000 visitors to Erie at this point.
Amazing.
That's not including people that are just driving in.
Yeah.
That's only the ones that have registered either camping spots or hotels or came in by flight.
And for our listeners globally, Erie, Pennsylvania, which is like the third largest city in the Commonwealth. There,
their population size as a county is like 110,000.
Right. And so now they're swelling. The Scott family, who owns half of Erie, Pennsylvania, has got to be, sitting pretty this weekend, to say the least.
Hotel rooms are going for $980 a night.
Outrageous.
In Erie, wow. Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
that's why everybody's camping.
That's why
the hotels are full.
I understand, but that's why they're camping, though.
That's amazing. But ultimately, they have about as much totality as we do. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And that we were talking.
If you go out to the peninsula, Presque Isle Peninsula, you'll actually have a few more seconds than even here.
And if you're not aware and you're listening, Erie has this majestic, I don't think it's a state park, is it?
It is.
It is a state park?
Yeah.
Okay. Majestic state park, which has a bajillion mile loop. That drives you through
13 miles,
slightly developed and then, sparse wildlife areas with like 11 beaches.
Yep. So there's one side is all beaches on the lake. The other side is the bay. And there is a lagoon in there that you can actually go and rent pontoons and kayak.
There's houseboats, generational houseboats there.
Yep.
Anyway, so I think that's going to be a booming location.
They have at Perry's Monument, which is basically out at the tip of the peninsula, they have an astronaut actually there today speaking to kids and teaching them about the space suits and outer space stuff.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. Good for Erie for embracing this. Good for anybody who's got a positive attitude about the experience in general. It's a once in a lifetime. I'll be honest. I admit that I was I don't know. I guess I didn't see the big deal in it right away. I've lived through two or three eclipses, I guess. And I was like, you know, that's cool. Like, I'm here for it. Like, you know, I didn't think anything of it. But for me, it's experiential. It's about everybody's excitement.
I think
experiencing it with a family.
The fact that this is such a unique one and the fact that it'll be 350 years before one of this caliber will hit again is where the excitement is.
Sure.
Yeah. But so as far as the updates go, when I was in Erie, we went to Target. That was my wife wanted to go there.
Woo,
for something.
Target. Yeah.
Target.
It was what I would expect for a Sunday. Okay. We went to Joanne Fabrics. Nobody in the store except for my wife. Oh, that was okay. It.
That's normal.
Not for the
Erie. That's why they're closing all the stores.
Not for the Erie Joanne's. It's okay. Not normal. That is actually pretty unusual.
Okay.
But then we went to Wegmans, and Wegmans, granted, is busy on a Sunday, but I have never seen this Wegmans as busy as it was.
Huh.
And I went in specifically to buy subs for dinner at my parents' house.
Sure.
I was going to get a couple big subs there. I went and waited trying to order. I wasn't acknowledged. They were so busy behind the counter working on other stuff. So I finally was like, all right, I'll just go find some pre-made ones. I walk past this little cookie stand where they're giving away a free sample sugar cookie that is an eclipse cookie.
Oh, that's cute.
And they had the trays for sale where you could buy a platter of them. I'm like, all right, cool. So I walk right past that. I see the subs in a little cooler behind it. And it's the big sub platter. And last time I bought one of these, it was like $25.99, if I remember right.
That makes sense.
And it's the big platter. It's got the three subs.
$42.95.
Yeah. So I
thought we were playing Prices Right.
You gotta wait.
Like everybody else.
So the cooler.
Okay.
The cooler has this big sign, $10 sub platter. I'm like,
what?
Oh, this is a great deal.
What?
So I was like, I'll take that. And I was like, hey, I'm saving all this money on the subs that I wasn't expecting.
That's amazing.
I'm going to grab two trays of cookies. So I grabbed two trays of the cookies. I mean, granted, they weren't big trays. There's like
whatever.
Six or seven cookies in a platter.
I totally get what you're saying.
But I go up to register, run through the register, swipe my card, don't even think about pricing.
You're not paying attention, yeah.
Walking out to the Jeep afterwards, and I'm like, man.
Your brain starts rolling.
I can't wait to show Kristen how much I saved here, because everybody complains about how expensive Wegmans is. I pull out the receipt, I'm like, there's a $10 for the sub. Wait, there's another $10. Oh, that's the cookies. Okay, cookies were $10 each, whatever. $48.
Oh, crap.
What? Yep. $48.
$48 for the sub platter.
They marked that up for the weekend.
Wow.
And I'm not even mad at them because it's my own.
Cold cuts and white bread. That's what you're getting. If you're coming to a watch party with me, you're getting cold cuts and white bread.
You know, and I'm
out of the Dollar General coolers, you know.
I'm not even mad at them for taking advantage of the situation and pricing. I get it. I understand what you're doing. But I'm mad at myself because I would tell you factually that sign said $10. And if I would have just taken a couple seconds longer instead of trying to rush through this busy store and get out of there.
Right.
See, that's why you need my wife, because she's ready to throw down at that point. She will go take pictures.
She will
have a conference.
My thing was, at that point, the store was so busy, it wasn't the employee's fault. It was totally on me. If I really saw that, knowing that was too good of a deal to be true, I should have taken a picture then.
Yep.
And been like, oh, hey, your sign actually said it was $10. And then they would have been like, oh, that's for this platter, not for what you have.
Yeah.
Whereas, why make a scene when they're already busy? The employees are already stressed.
Totally get it.
I made a mistake. It's on me. I own it.
Yep. That's an integrity piece that we talk about. Yep. You know, that is too funny. I personally have done a running about. I don't know. My head is not screwed on right now because I've been all over the place so much recently. And I'll be honest with you, I would tell you there was no increased traffic anywhere that I've been. And in fact, driving in today.
So 79 was significantly increased traffic.
I went through the truck stop last night because I came in about 9:30 and I was like, oh, I'm going to run up to the truck stop. I was in Meadville, which obviously we talked about earlier, that all the hotels there are booked out because they're probably driving to Erie as well. I ran to the truck stop. There wasn't a soul in the truck stop. All the truckers were hunkered down. Nobody gassing up. I feel like it's COVID all over again. I drove in this morning and I was like, there's nobody on the roads. There's, you know, everybody's just kind of hunkered down or something.
So from what I was observing is everyone was traveling, at least out of state, earlier in the week. So earlier in the week, me and my wife kept saying, like, look, Texas, look, there's Virginia, look, there's North Carolina.
Oh, you mean all the license plates in SFJ 4x4s?
Well, that too.
That's what I was going to say. So they hung out in the parking lot.
So they hung out in a parking lot. They came into the service bays and saw.
But there was a definite increase flux of out-of-state traffic through the area.
Yeah.
I think they all are hunkered down at this point. This close to it, and have, well, where they're going to be, they're at.
And I still don't get it. I haven't seen these people, so they must not actually exist. Conspiracy theory number 345-72. They don't actually exist.
Just
because I'm not experiencing it, it doesn't happen.
I want to see pictures from Erie today to show, because Erie supposedly is going to be under gridlock. Like, they are prepared for state of the emergency type stuff, and they added all these extra incentives for the emergency services to have
To be
boosted signal for communications because of the congestion.
Hmm. Well, so I guess one thing you can look at it is if it doesn't end up in total gridlock, then they did their job. Plus,
that's exactly what I'm thinking, right? People would be fussing if
it
wasn't
better
that way.
than expected, then everybody did their jobs.
That's exactly right. And that's the problem with us as humans. We can't quantify that.
Yes.
The fact that people are doing their job.
A crap show.
Correct.
We want to see somebody fail. And that's
and then they're going to be like, well, it never actually transpired the way, you know, the naysayers will be like, well, it wasn't what they said it was going to be. No.
Everybody
did their job, and we were decent human beings about it. Yeah. Woo, how crazy would that be?
Your wife's in the comments saying that on Saturday they were insane at Aldi's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. They have been. Again, and we accidentally went to Walmart three times across a couple of days, and they had no buns, so everybody's having picnics, which is good.
That's fine.
But it was just kind of crazy. It was like, wow, there is not a hot dog or a hamburger bun to be had, almost.
Huh.
Luckily.
How was the TP?
I didn't check. I personally am okay.
I don't understand why these humans are so obsessed with their toilet paper.
I am Mark safe from not having toilet paper on today. But anyway.
So, the apocalypse comes. I'm not worried about toilet paper. Let's just write my declaration.
There are
out.
Many other things to worry about.
I'm not concerned. That's the least of my worries. I know what corn cobs can do.
Oh, God.
All right. So, I my headphones are on backwards today because I've got a real special hat on.
Yeah.
What do you got going on? There was a ton of comments. Maybe we should come back and just recognize some of these folks hanging out in our comments section.
Some of the comments. Let's go back and say, all right. We've got. I'm not Joe Brilla. I'm not reading your comment.
Why? He's syncing up. He's syncing up a Pink Floyd.
Yeah, but he did it in parentheses. So it was a head thought. So it's in the comments. You have to be in the comments to see it.
Oh well, I'm just gonna say there is actually a couple of radio stations that are syncing up Dark Side of the Moon album.
Ooh.
Yeah. That you can start it at some indeterminate period of time.
Yeah, and it should land exactly right.
Yeah, it should land with the eclipse.
We already know you're playing Total Eclipse of the Heart. So.
Oh yeah. You should be lucky I'm not singing it for everybody's pleasure at the moment.
So,
Bill had said good morning to us, and then
Justin's working in a freezer on a forklift. That's why he needs his hat.
Oh yeah, take care of that nugget in that freezer.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Let's see. And then he got 3.6 issues. So he's talking about transmissions. We got Kathy. Love the hat.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second, Kathy.
Josh says, sup, dudes.
Good morning, Josh.
My wife commented about the cookies. She said, no, they're like four big cookies.
She's
maybe
fired
five.
Up about the $10. She's no, fired about the $50 on the sub platter.
She's fired up about the fact that I spent $72 at Wegmans and all I walked out was a tray of subs and some cookies.
Yeah, y'all are eating well today. I know where I'm
the subs were yesterday. They're gone.
Oh, no.
He's not allowed to go to Wegmans on his own anymore.
Nope. Roy said, good morning. Chip said, I'm the guy hoping for total cloud cover, Eclipse Grinch. Chip, get out of here with that.
Chip, go away. That's not fun.
And then Bill saying $1,400 balloon ride to see the eclipse.
Ooh.
My goodness.
That would be kind of interesting.
It'd be cool.
Are you offering, Bill, or is that what your plans are today? I want to know more about a $1,400 balloon ride.
And all I know is that balloon better not be in my view.
Oh, goodness. Did you see the meme about the blow-up dolls in the rapture?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Oh, Matt Scientist, Old Man Brown, what do you got going on?
So
you did a thing for people following you on the social pages?
I did. My wife came up with this idea because I have been inadequately, in her eyes, using my Dana crate. It's just, you know, hanging out behind my garage, weathering, going the crap. So she said, what if we were to use it as a planter? And I was like, no, that'd be kind of cool.
Okay.
So we're visual people. So it helps us to see things in spaces to try to plan. So we go to pick it up. We go to move it. And we realize really fast that this is heavy and we have to go all the way around the house. And I said, I own a pickup truck now that is not put away for the winter. Why don't I just go get the truck? We'll slide it in the bed and I can drive all around my yard wherever I want to. And she says, that sounds like a good plan. So
perfect.
Go grab the Gladiator.
Scott has the best ideas.
Pull it over.
Ideas.
You know, a Jeep truck, if you haven't used it for yard work, you're missing out.
She corrected you and said it's a raised garden bed.
Well, that's fine. Anyway, flip the tonneau back. Put it up in the bed. Fits perfectly for those that are wondering if you need to haul your Dana crate in your Gladiator.
If you are on the fence about whether or not you need Dana Ultimate axles,
yes.
The crates look really good in the back of a JT.
They do.
Yes.
One at a time. But anyway.
Yeah, but you should buy two at a time.
You can fit two.
Because you should just do 60s. Anyway, so yes. Pull that around to where she's talking about. And we kind of get the tape measure out. We're planning things. Cutting things, making wood
projects.
And then
the ADHD takes over.
And then...
Well, she's saying it's for a perimeter for an actual garden. So there's a lot
cool.
of gardening going in your life, huh?
It's going to be cool because we want to plant more of a garden we've ever had this year. You know,
cool.
Tomatoes and peppers and that kind of stuff. Any which way.
In a Dana crate?
No, well...
The perimeter.
Ambitious.
The so Dana crate's the perimeter.
So we don't want to go out in the
think
field.
Think of your wife and how she likes her flowers and her...
You don't need to tell me nothing about flowers and perimeters.
So we've heard the trauma that the deer and the antelope playing in your field that caused her
absolutely.
Flowers.
Absolutely.
So we don't want to go out in our field where our deer will then eat all of our
yes.
stuff.
Yes.
So we're purposely moving it up to the house and then surrounding it with wood.
My wife has got a bounty for people to come to our new property and just mow down the deer in the most legal way possible, yes. Ohio Game Commission.
And loving.
But... Not loving at all. Not loving at all.
And we also have a wood chuck at this point that's multi-generational underneath the shed.
What I heard is normally people have to pay to get onto hunting grounds, and you guys are paying hunters
to come to
here.
We're paying hunters to come to our new property.
So anyway, we're very concerned about that. So that's what the perimeter is for, to protect that, and we're actually going to be able to plant stuff in that perimeter to just make it look nice.
Nice.
Any which way, where she has chosen to do this, which I completely approve of, is there's a part of the house that has a gutter and stuff, and I finally clicked in my head, like, wait a minute, I was up here battling yellow jacket type wasp last year,
nice.
Trying not to get stung.
Oh, that makes for a nice gardening
and
experience.
And they were going underneath the shingles into the house, which is not good. And of course now, you know, it's been all winter and I've forgotten about it and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know, all this fascia is looking really haggard. All the soffit is falling apart, but still up there, holding up strong.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should investigate this before we impede our access to all this.
Right.
So we go get the ladder, and I start poking at things. And, you know, now I'm the metalwork guy. So luckily our house is blessed with big, huge gutters and little caps that go over top of the gutters to keep all the trees and stuff out. So not once in the, like, 12 years we've lived there have I had
to clean
gutters at all.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's awesome. Except for...
I used to clean my gutters twice a year.
Limbs happen.
Sure.
Tree things happen. We ripped a whole chimney down in between these two gutters. Things have happened on this side of the house in our 12 years of ownership. And so things are bent. Things aren't lined up like they used to be. And I'm like, well, if I took that all apart, I could straighten all that out with a body hammer and a dolly and kind of
dollying his gutters.
Darn straight I am.
Oh, buddy.
So I pull the rain thing off. I then pull the gutter off, and now I'm looking at this fascia board. It's twisted. It's rotten. It's falling apart.
But wait, there's more. This is how projects go.
So then I'm like, well, go ahead and I'll just replace that fascia board and put the gutter up nice. And things weren't quite lined up right, so we'll make the whole side of the house look nicer. And I go and try to pull that up, and suddenly the soffit starts to fall down, which was basically just Luon.
Okay.
It's like a little thin piece. Yep. And it's literally at this point completely separated, yep, spidered apart, which if you're on our Discord, you got to see pictures of the amazing
That's our Patreons, our Patreon Discord, yep.
And so took all that, you know, it starts to fall down, and he's like, well, should I just pull that out? Yep, just rip it all off, that's fine.
Oh boy, rip the Band-Aid off.
We find the big nest literally glued to the side of the house. And our house was built in the 20s, so literally the siding goes all the way up to the roof boards, which was interesting to find out. Makes sense. But,
sure.
So then I ripped the fascia off, and now I'm looking at, you know, now I need a new fascia board. Now I need to do something with the soffit. And then I start looking at the front of the house, and it all needs addressed as well,
oh,
of course. So,
my.
And then my wife's like, you know, we had a tree growing on the other side of the house and the gutter. We should go investigate that while we have the ladder out. So we go over there. It's like, no joke, an inch deep in soil in the gutter.
Nice.
So, that gutter guard is not doing its job as good as the other. So I wasn't full commit over there. I just took a screwdriver and like tried to mosey along, blasted myself with the hose a couple times trying to hose it out. But I think eventually I'm going to have to just work my way all the way around the house with new fascia board because it's all at that point.
Sadly, that's the right way to do it.
Yeah. So and now I'm learning about vented soffit versus normal soffit versus ridge fence versus this because now I'm going down the rabbit hole of videos, learning myself on how to fix this.
Good for you.
The though. Right way.
Yep. So,
good for you.
And of course, now that I did that, it rained this morning and it's supposed to rain on Thursday when I could work on it again. And
yep. Yep. Tis so, life.
I see you, universe. Yep.
Cosmos. Right?
Into the comments again real quick. Bill, back to the hot air balloon ride for $1,400, said he's not that well off, but it's at...
Letchworth. It's over at Letchworth.
Yeah, sure. That state park.
Actually, I should have let that. You... at. Oh my nope. gosh, I should have let you say it. I didn't realize you wouldn't recognize Letchworth.
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, Letchworth State Park. Great park. And it is actually home to some of the oldest growth trees in the United States of America.
Oh, huh.
So,
did not know that.
Yeah, so actually some of the giant trees, folks, you're getting a whole side of me you didn't know that I you know, the arborist and naturalist side of things. Letchworth State Park has some of the most, what they call massive trees of the United States, old growth, that are actually just huge. They would be the East Coast version of the redwoods.
Huh. Where, really? Where's that at?
New York. Upstate. So the state park system. So it's actually, it's not... Letchworth is obviously state. Pennsylvania has a state as well. And it's basically, there was a series of naturalists who came through who were lumbermen and outdoor hunters and enthusiasts from the East Coast. And they came through and they protected this swath that basically comes down from Syracuse down through the central upstate Pennsylvania. And so through this process, you can get these beautiful natural protected environmental spaces.
I'm starting to remember vaguely a little bit about this from living in Syracuse. I have never visited it.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And it's one of those kind of, if you are into outdoor environmentalist, naturalist stuff, as my wife and I are avid campers and, you know, some of the stuff that we've done previously has taken us on some of these experiences.
I actually feel really bad now that we didn't go because Kristen would have loved that. She
well, you can still go. Yeah. Well, not I know. The hot air balloon
ride. I'm saying why we were living there.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think it's... I think we could probably be there in 2 hours and 15 minutes or so.
From here?
Yeah.
Syracuse.
It's not Syracuse.
Like,
it's not Syracuse.
It's south of Syracuse.
It's, that's what I'm saying. It's south. So think of, like, geographically, Syracuse is over a little bit from Buffalo.
Yeah.
Right? So then go straight down is what I'm saying. Like,
okay.
In New York, but, like, straight down.
Yep.
That's I was just trying to orient us to the east a little bit. But it's
so taking,
southern New York.
What, 86 over?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's definitely closer than going out and seeing a redwood, Jeff. So.
Correct. That's exactly the issue.
Yeah, but the redwood adventure is still something that is appetizing to me. I really want to do the road trip all the way there to check it out and
with you.
Loop 100%. Around.
You just want to park the Jeep in the tree, don't you?
Maybe. I don't think you can do that anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
That makes me sad.
Well, protected lands.
It got protected. That particular one, there was something. There was this iconic photo we can all kind of conjure up in our brain.
Front end of the car in the tree.
End of the car in the tree. And something happened just within the last 5 to 7 years, regulatory. That tree started to experience some health issues at the root base.
It couldn't be from any of the exhaust fumes going right up the tree.
Well, there was something there. And I can't speak exactly what it is. But
Kristen just... Googled it, apparently 2 hours and 49 minutes from Ashtabula. So you're pretty accurate.
Not
over 2 hours.
Yeah, just over 2 hours. Day trip, right?
It's a one tank trip in the Jeep.
Yep. And if you're listening and you have any interest,
apparently we've got another trip planned.
And so, if you have any interest, I strongly recommend the PA Grand Canyon.
Yeah, that's
just
fun.
A fun one. Kinzu State Park, the whole shooting match up in that area.
Jim Elliott's in here saying nice hat.
So I should address the hat. This is I have actually been privy to this to the potentiality of this hat for just under 2 years. And for our listeners, you can't see it, but for our viewers, you've been looking in and you see this almost top hat looking hat. But it has even yet better a pom pom. It has a poof. Right, it's
that's
got a poof
best
on the
part.
Hat.
I mean. All good hats have poofs.
Oh, totes, right? Because that just kind of indicates that we're from the 80s and 90s.
Now, what did they call the hat?
What do you mean, what did they call the hat?
What was the name he gave the
what
hat?
What was it referenced as?
Oh,
when,
I don't...
When he brought it in to you.
Oh, what are you asking? I don't know.
He said it was was it Duck Commander? Was that...
Oh, yes, yeah. The big Duck Daddy or the Duck Commander.
Duck Daddy, that's what it
Duck
was.
Duck Daddy hat for me, right? And so... a fantastic relationship with the club president of Freedom Crawlers, which is this really healthy, well-organized local club that is wholly committed to charitable acts and kind of positive community engagement.
Absolutely.
Right?
Great message.
And so
they're
we have
an amazing
had,
organization, the yeah, way, what they do for the community.
And we've had the pleasure of working with a lot of really good clubs over the years. I always tell people I've been a purveyor, a Jeep enthusiast for, quite honestly, about 30 years. And so as an enthusiast, I've seen the ebb and flow of many clubs. And so, realistically, I've always told people, that I've never actually belonged to a club.
Yep.
I have not belonged to a club because I want to support all Jeep and off-road enthusiasts equally. I don't have any specific allegiance. I want to just kind of support people in their process to have a positive and appropriate communal
and that
experience.
Way, everyone in all the clubs feels good to approach you.
100%,
there's
right?
No and, favoritism.
And that was, from at a kid level, I just didn't feel any need to associate with one specific entity or the other. So currently, and like I said, we've had really good, well-organized clubs that we've interacted with in the past, and there are other really good clubs. The club scene has relatively overall kind of subsided from what it was even just 5-7 years ago. There was you could have your pick of like 18 different clubs within like a 45-minute range. Right now there's a handful. This is one of the really well-organized local clubs. There's one to the east in Erie as well. But this particular one is actually local to us. So the club president and his brother, now his brother is not exactly a Jeep enthusiast, but his brother is the crocheter. Hmm. And so a big shout out to Brian and Micah. Micah is the club president of Freedom Crawlers. And Micah likes to say that he is the drinker of the hat.
Yes.
And Brian is the crocheter.
I wondered if it was part of the crocheter.
Yeah, it's a Team effort.
It's a team effort, right?
Somebody has to sacrifice and drink the alcohol to be able to make that.
So what these guys are doing, and they have figured out, they are using, and you heard Jeff say the alcohol, they are using beer cans, and then they cut these beer cans in such a way, and then they
punch holes, which is what Mike is also doing. He's drinking and punching holes.
Is the drinker and hole puncher. And Brian crochets the hat to appropriately kind of satisfy, you know, these cans.
These panels of cans.
And then there's a bill. And what they chose, and so like I said, I've been aware of the potentiality of this hat for 2 years. I couldn't figure out what drink to make hat for me. And
I'm surprised it do the IPA with the red Wagoneer on it.
And he said, you know, they've considered some of these different Jeep enthusiast drinks. They have Jeep Beach drinks because there is a branded Jeep Beach, series of IPAs or beers. This one, I'm going to take the hat off for a hot second, is the Noka non-carbonated boozy iced tea. Two turned up Tony. Now, don't go looking for two turned up Tony.
Unless you're the savage, because he apparently enjoyed finding that one.
Two turned up Tony he's looking freshy fresh. I'll be honest with you. Find him on Instagram. But this is a non-carbonated beverage
company.
Don't
do that on your work computer.
No, not suitable for work, folks. Two turned up Tony is not suitable for work. I mean, I guess it depends on what industry you're in.
I was going to say, because Davey proudly showed it to everybody here.
Well, we do media here, so. So this is probably, I don't know, six cans or so. I mean, maybe it's eight. Maybe this is just the front
of the
can.
We actually
so.
Should have gotten a qualifier on that.
We should have.
If we hit another one of these, we need to find out how many cans does this take?
Yeah. And
how many licks to get to the center?
Yeah. How committed were you to this?
So, and they did this in such a way because there are ducks all over this particular drink. And so
adult ducks.
I think you can literally...
Of 21. Age 20, 21 or older.
21 and older ducks.
You have to actually click on that on their website.
I believe you can
older.
Literally just count the cans on this one. It's all the faces.
Yeah, I was going to say, it must all be faces of the can. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And then 7 for the
seven,
bill.
7 at the bill itself. So 7 different cans.
So
it had
to
be drinking
more than the six pack to do that one.
Yeah. And then it is perfect for the eclipse as well, because it
is
actually
the coolest part.
Woven with glow in the dark yarn.
Oh
yeah.
So we're talking about big, burly, off-road truck enthusiast guys,
like tons under your Jeep,
literally tons
and a Hemi in the engine. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Who he and his brother, and they've built their houses, they've broken ground, they've done all this kind of stuff, have prioritized making me this
glow-in-the-dark crocheted hat. With a pom-pom.
Which I could not be more proudly display. We awesome. Displayed it. We kept it a secret from all of our Jeep family, but we'll take a picture and throw it on the internets here later. And obviously we wanted to share it with you all on the podcast and on the live. So yeah, big shout out to Freedom Crawlers and the Bidwell family for this hat. Now, they claim, and here's the little bit of the challenge, they claim they want to produce more of these for us.
They jokingly said they'd like to get to a hat a month. So we agreed to a hat a quarter because it's more realistic with their busy schedules and
so we'll see if we can do that and make some suggestions. And maybe some of our listeners out there, this has to be cans. It can't be bottles, right? We did cover that grounds. No melting or smelting glass for this project. But what are some other drinks? Obviously, they've got some Jeep Beach beer they thought would be fun. Bantam Butler needs a drink. Maybe Toledo, you know?
Yeah.
And we'll have to see what Freedom Crawlers and the Bidwells produce for us next. So I appreciate them and this. I proudly wear this today, and we're going to test out the glow in the dark yarn later as well. Just on the continued updates, For funsies, those of you who know, you know, our house, finally, our Pennsylvania property is sold. So that's a big, long time coming.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. We can move forward in our not a house house build, and, you know, which has not by any means stalled, but as you had mentioned, the garden stuff becomes very important this mm-hmm. time of year.
Yeah, there's a rush from now till May to get things in the ground.
Yep, to get things in the ground and get them secured from those nasty deer. And so on top of that, we've got, you know, all of that closing transaction that needs to be done, and we'll be building the new house. Now, one of the things, the conditions with the new house is we can't turn the water on there, despite the fact that we've done everything city-wise that was required for the water to be put in place, until we have a waste transfer. So we have to have mm-hmm. a septic approved, you know, approved for the city. So it can't be like a porta potty. It has to be an approved, you know, waste transfer. So we can't turn water on. One of the things actually that was suggested to me by one of the Bidwell brothers, by Brian, who crocheted me the hat, was to put in a hand well. And how rare is that? I mean, I never thought about the fact that he's like, you can literally just, you know, put in a hand well if you knew where water is.
That's,
Ooh.
So if any of our listeners are good with like a dowry rod yeah. or they're a water seeker,
I honestly, help me I want to see that live. I have been dying to see somebody actually use that trick live. I've seen it in videos. I've heard about it.
Get a pair of rods for like less than $20 on Amazon.
You can make them if you know what you're doing.
Well, I have no idea. I don't know, but
I've never been with somebody experienced enough to use them properly, but I want to see it done live.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Brian was like, hey, did you think about, like, he knows how important the naturalist, the garden yeah. is for my wife and family.
Even later, after you have actual facilities, that would be cool for the garden.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. if we could get some water right over by what we call her secret garden, if we could get some water over there and not have to run piping and whatnot,
that'd be
that
awesome.
Might be kind of interesting. It doesn't need to be potable for the fact that we're right. just watering the garden.
Yeah, yes. But you could make it really fun and do a whole wishing well style. And
Totes. Wouldn't that be interesting?
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yes.
me too.
All right.
That's
so
awesome.
So, you know, so if anybody's listening who wants to get involved in some water seeking, you yeah. know, I'm interested. I'm interested to know more. So we've got our cool hat. I brought some stuff on to the podcast for us.
And we've got those drinks that we have forgotten over and over and over again.
Yeah, because we're kind of hosting our own watch party.
Oh, Joe said the rods work. He's done it.
All right,
Joe. We want to see you come up and do this.
You're going to be on the next Life and Low Range while you're doing some dowry rods. Is it dowry rods? Is that what? Divining rods. Maybe dowry is something else.
I don't know.
Divining rods.
Everybody knows what we're talking about.
Okay, so I brought onto today for us.
Of course.
Snack.
Of course it's those. I love it.
I brought Cosmic brownies.
Cosmic. Yep.
So I figure we're going
to eat your cosmic brownie before.
Oh, Amy says they're dowsing rods.
Dowsing rods or divining. I've
seen the same rod used for multiple uses.
I'm going to distribute some cosmic brownies for us to munch on.
It's even got the little colored candies on it.
It does.
And I'm going to
my daughter.
I don't know whether he's got his headphones on or not. But I'm going to chuck a.
Good,
nice
distance.
Shot!
Oh,
That was good.
Chucked a cosmic brownie across.
The only way you could have got more points if he would have got him like
right
in the
shoulder.
That was pretty good shot though for sitting and just lobbing it without hitting the microphone.
Thank you.
He's showing his sports.
That is true. That's true. So, I was playing baseball with my kid all weekend when I wasn't moving and doing 100 other things.
As you should.
Fun fact, these are the brownies that have the line in the middle. Have you seen that there's actually there's ones without and people
yes.
are freaking out on the internet going, since when is there not a line anymore?
Oh, Mandela effect. That,
yes.
So the larger version doesn't have the line in it.
Mm. That just means serving size.
Yeah.
The larger one is just one brownie, then.
It is.
That's what I heard.
All right, so we're going to need our cosmic brownies. I've got our glow-in-the-dark hat. Now, here's the thing. I went looking a couple months ago when I knew that this was happening, and I went looking for approved glasses. And
the ISO certified?
So here's the thing. And there was like, I went online, and I was like, all right, so there's all these watch parties, and people are giving out glasses for free.
Yep.
And I went on to the old internets, and I found, you know, a set of glasses for a set, like 20 or 50 for like $14.95. And I was like, that's what's up. Like, I'm going to get that and we're going to go ahead and, you know, have glasses free to our customers coming in and out and whatever. And then it kind of clicked with me, and I was like, you know what? My expectation for our customers is that we're always delivering the highest quality components and you know, the best quality services that we have access to, right? And I thought to myself, we're never trying to, like, take that,
right,
you know, that cheap route per se. So,
boy, Jeff's just crushing that brownie over there.
I'm so jealous. Jeff, I got...
Are you hungry? Yeah,
I've got... Here we go. I got another one, Jeff. Here you go, Jeff. Fill up your arteries. You're good, man.
Trying to catch up to Scott's 20 pounds.
He was so excited about the cosmic brownie.
He was so excited for that cosmic brownie. It's gone. For our listeners at home, it's gone.
I barely got to the line, and he's gone.
Yeah, Jeff. I feel like I'm in middle school, and
right?
My kid who just got done running the mile. And
right?
Holy cow. Are you okay? Are you okay over there? Do you need a drink? We can bust out Scott's drink that he wants to try.
I don't know.
Holy crap.
You might want to drink the coffee first.
All right, drink the coffee.
Joe's saying needs some milk. Yeah, I do, Joe.
Oh, God. Well, Jeff, my heart's racing for you. I just... Did you... I feel like talking to my kids. Did you taste that? Did you do the one bite challenge?
Pretty much.
Wow. Okay. Back to the glasses.
Slow down when you're eating.
Back to the glasses. So I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not going to buy. I don't trust some cheap import knockoff that I don't know anything about.
I was actually shocked.
Oh, crap. Scott got us. Scott's in the comments going, I just joined a little late. Are you guys eating special brownies for the eclipse?
Maybe.
We are actually eating special brownies.
Well, some of us are.
For the eclipse?
Others are inhaling them.
They are not laced with anything. It's just us being...
Well, I thought they were, but I mean, based on our current laughter state, I don't know.
Oh my God, we don't even need that stuff at this rate. Holy crap. Wow.
Anyway, I was sad and dismayed to see that people are making fake eclipse glasses.
So,
like, come
there's
on,
so
people.
Much wild stuff out there. Here's the thing. I literally went out and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to buy indisposable glasses, right? I mean, disposable. They're not plastic rimmed. But I am going to buy the most bestest glasses that that I can buy. So these are Soluna's made in the USA to meet or exceed all NASA certifications, recommendations, and so on and so forth.
So
they have the ISO rating and whatnot.
Speaking of those certifications, for those of you that think it's okay to watch with a welder's mask.
Don't go dark enough.
Most of them do not go dark enough.
All
you need a level 14 to be able to do this properly.
We checked all the helmets in the shop.
They're all level 13.
They're all level 13. And we don't even weld on 13. So
isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Think about how dark this goes. So these are... We're going to try these on for our listeners, our viewers.
I like that it's got double fold in it so you can have different size.
Right. You can, depending on how fat your face is,
yeah.
It will tell you, you know, it will fit your face.
So this is the crazy part. For those that don't know, we have LEDs in the shop. They are bright as the sun.
They are the brightest LEDs that we could buy.
You cannot look
blind.
At them.
There's nothing. Everything's black.
Look up at the LEDs, Jeff.
I did.
I'm looking
just
at our.
Look at it.
I'm looking
and,
at our.
And let your eyes adjust.
You can see a little bit. You can actually see the
you can
lines.
See the individual LEDs and the light through these.
That is actually kind of cool.
How do I? I'm supposed to wear my glasses. I wear my glasses. I don't understand how I do this.
Give Neil a paper plate. Did everybody see the paper plate hack?
Yep. You need the paper plate.
Why do I need a paper plate?
So for us with glasses. You take a paper plate, and where the sides that go back to your ears, you punch a slot in the paper plate for those go through, and then you cut out a nose profile. And then for a little kid like my daughter,
yes.
You can hold the paper plate up to your face over your nose.
Okay.
Protects your eyes. You have a bigger swath of protection around, so in case they're slightly above or below.
Yes.
And then they can view it easier because obviously a little kid, you know, 7 is going to be just constantly moving the glasses around.
Yes.
Totally doing the paper plate thing.
I am blown away at just how dark these are.
They are dark.
I think what's important to note is there are glasses on the internet that say ISO on them and they have the little globe ISO logo, but you put them on and you can still see. It looks like you're looking through a tinted window.
Yes.
Do not use those.
No.
If you can see through your glasses with some ease, they're not. That you should be looking through a blackout.
Yeah, if you're stuck and you are in that situation, do the pinhole method with, you know, watching it on a paper plate or whatever.
Yeah,
I can only when we were kids. Imagine what our viewing audience can see me as right now because my glasses are on my glasses.
We just expected
my hat is on at this point.
He's ready for the aliens.
I've got cosmic brownies. The aliens will not want to talk to me. They will.
No, they're coming for you. They're like, 100%.
this is one of our own. I recognize this character. Wow.
So my only thing left then is to try Urn Brew.
What is it? Urn?
Urn Brew.
Like
IRN.
BRU.
BRU.
No. No. No, I'm good.
I was trying to remember.
Did this come from? I am so
it's a carbonated flavored
this.
Soft drink.
I was way more excited to try the Moxie than I am this.
Moxie was so good.
The Moxie was really
thank
good.
Thank you, Philippe. Phil.
This is going to...
Are you opening something? I can't even see you. I'm still got my glasses on.
Well, that's probably for the best.
That's probably... Yeah,
you don't want to see what these cans look like.
So it has carbonated water, sugar, citric acid, natural and artificial flavorings, which they don't tell you what it is, including caffeine and, can't say that word, sodium bezonate, preservative.
Scott, yet again, your wife is correcting you. Apparently,
I was hoping.
Apparently, it's pronounced Iron Brew.
Yay.
I'm with you. IRNBRU.
There's no O.
It's Iron Brew, and it's Scottish. So it's a Scottish...
I was hoping if I just kept rambling long enough, she would do that. And
so this is non-alcoholic because we are a non-alcoholic show, folks.
Yeah, but, it's a carbonated beverage.
Ooh, they could use these cans to make a hat.
Pop, soda, wherever you're from.
I can't see anything, so I just...
They could make a cat out of these cans.
Oh, my gosh.
We should do
so
that.
Uncomfortable.
Make him a Scottish hat, and then he's got to talk in a Scottish accent the whole episode.
Oh, definitely do
I
my
am
Scottish
here for
accent.
It. Here you go, Neil.
All right.
Oh, he even opened it for you.
He was blind.
Well, I was blind, and now I see.
Now you see the danger that you're getting into?
Jeff, try to pace yourself with this.
Jeff,
don't chug it.
We're not shotgunning. We're not shotgunning on air, Jeff.
Davey, come over here.
Davey, come have an Iron Brew.
Iron Brew.
Iron Brew.
Iron Brew. Carbonated.
I'm going to put hair on your chest.
Where did this come from?
Yeah, I want to tell you.
Why won't you tell me? I feel like it's off the Aldi shelf.
It was in the bin store.
Open it up, Davey. It was in the bin store. Davey's done. He's walking away.
Come over here. I wanted you to talk about your special lens that you got for your camera.
He just talked about it.
That's actually probably more than he would say about it anyways.
Yeah, that's all he would say. You just talked about it. All right.
1, 2, 3.
Pickle juice. It's pickle juice. It's carbonated pickle juice.
Yes, it is.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's carbonated pickle juice.
100%. I'm going
back
to my coffee.
What do you mean no?
Jeff's not your
It tastes like carbonated pickle juice.
I don't really like
that's
pickle juice.
That's 100% carbonated pickle juice. Not here for it.
I'm taking a can home to my wife.
I think I have to do the same thing.
It's cola and pickle juice.
We have 2 cans left. My wife is a surveyor of pickles, so I'll get her take.
This Iron Brew.
I kind of taste an orange. There's something orangey in there.
I think that's just the color of the can.
I think it's like cola and pickle juice.
Yeah,
no, it's not terrible.
A splash of cola in it, and the rest is pickle juice.
You think there's citrus in there, huh, Scott?
I think so. Could be wrong.
I don't know.
Look it up. Let us know what.
Where did this come from then?
It came from a salvage store.
Oh God. How old is this?
I don't know.
Is it still good? Are you poisoning us on the eclipse?
Amy said the pop is actually orange colored and she has had it.
Ah, wow. Wow.
I told you that, we would have tried it, so it was just fine.
It was from a salvage store. All right, so.
Where do you see something cool, you got to buy it.
Yeah, I'm so glad we tried it on air. You too can drink carbonated cola pickle juice if you would like.
I think I'm going to read some Amazon reviews on this.
I got to take my hat off because I can't keep my headphones. I'm working too hard at this. Are you reading? Are you reading?
I'm pulling it up. Give me a second.
There's so much silence over there.
Right. So
Brownie disagreeing with you over there?
No, I haven't got. I'm scrolling.
So we are going to actually talk a little bit about Jeep stuff and not just about the Eclipse stuff, though, you know, the Eclipse stuff is pretty cool.
Scottish people drink it with whiskey.
Probably make it better.
Someone said they mix it with tequila and it tastes like a candy Jawbreakers from the 80s. Tastes better in the can than plastic bottles. Taste of heaven in a can.
Heaven in a can.
Yep.
What person said that tasted like heaven in a can?
Not Jeff.
Not me. Thinking of home with every sip and think taste of heaven in a can. So it must be somebody from there.
Somebody from Pickle Land? Like what?
Most of the reviews are in a different language. This makes it challenging.
That all just right. means I did my job.
Oh,
honestly, I feel like a lot of it is actually in German.
I don't doubt it. It looks something Germanish or that area.
That's almost all German there.
So Total Eclipse of the Heart is this idea that, and honestly, this terrible drink that Scott felt the need to subject us to, probably not far off, it's the idea that something impacts you so significantly that it overcomes your heart. It is this concept of you know, the idea of, like, you know, maybe it's not the best thing for you, but it eclipses your heart and it overwhelms you, it overcomes you, and so
I'm gonna go back to the drink for just a second because I don't believe this for 1 second, but apparently, it's a citrusy flavor hints of orange and lemon.
Told you.
That is referred to a bubblegum-like or fruity flavor.
Okay, so here's the problem. I think it's fermented and it's gone bad.
Maybe that's what it is.
I think it's gone bad, Scott. You just poisoned us. The fact that it tastes like pickle juice is probably the fact that it's skunked. It's probably skunked and... that you just gave us... That's why it was at the salvage store.
Best Buy, October 23...
23?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's totally
soda. Soda that expired.
That's fine.
How old is it that it met its expiration date?
I think we just drank skunk pop and that's why it tastes like pickle juice.
Mine wasn't bad. The vinegar. I can taste the orange.
I think that's why it tasted so bad to us.
Yeah.
I bet you it's gone bad. And
now you know what we have to do now. We have to get it off Amazon and try it again.
I don't know.
No, I'm scared.
Right?
No, I'm scared now. No.
Let us know in the comments if you want us to do that.
No. God. All right.
Joe O'Brien was asking expiration date, apparently, as I was looking. So
yep,
Amy said she likes it, too. So I agree. I think we just got a bad batch of them.
Yeah. Well, there was a reason. It was at the salvage store. It was expired, and it probably sat out in the sun.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine.
Gotta live dangerously.
So... this concept of the total eclipse of the heart does, you know, kind of present itself to it's a Jeep thing you wouldn't understand. And all too often, both positively and negatively, people will be like, well, it's a Jeep thing.
Yes.
Right? And so for some of us, we've really embraced that over the years and be like, oh, well, this kind of, you know, kind of rugged experience is a Jeep thing, right? The soft top, the wind blowing.
Really what it is you're here for
it. Go ahead and finish your brownie. We both have at this part.
Yeah, I'd love to keep picking away at my brownie, Jeff. Jeff just snorted it like he was doing pixie sticks in third grade again.
Somebody has experience with that.
Dying here.
Bill said, how many eclipses are you guys going to see today?
Well, I'm going to be in the hospital, Bill, because I have food poisoning from the skunked out cola. from the salvage.
You're going to be asking them to eclipse the hospital lights for you.
Right. Just turn the lights off. I don't even care. Take pictures. So it's a Jeep thing. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah,
is the gist of it, right? And how often we both it fulfills us.
I think everybody knows a friend or a family member that goes, I just don't understand what you see in that thing. And I remember my dad, like, his experience with a Jeep was the time he got drunk, and there was like a night watchman, and he took him home in like a Willys, and it was cold and drafty and raining on him, and it was terrible, and from there on set the pace.
And he was already inebriated.
Yeah, so it was a terrible experience. And I remember when I first started getting interested in Jeeps, he's like, well, let me tell you about Jeeps. They rust away. They use a lot of gas. They don't have good heaters. They leak on you. They're just not a good...
Do you know what we never hear anymore about that, Jeep... That and how Jeeps all roll over.
Yes.
Yeah. In my and when I started driving Jeeps in the 90s, it was they all roll over. Yes. You're going to die in that Jeep.
The trauma, just rolls traumatizing. Over.
Now the Broncos are all rolling over, so we don't hear about it with the Jeeps anymore.
Yeah, it's for the past. Anyway.
Survival of the fittest.
Wow. Fine.
Darwin is here for the Bronco owners, apparently.
I kind of lobbed the ball up in the air. He just slammed it right back down.
He was like an Olympic volleyball player. He just spiked it right back to the ground. Wow.
But really, it is one of those things where when you like the little quirks of a vehicle so much that you still love it, you know? And I don't care. A brand new 2024 Jeep has a quirk. It's
correct.
Just, it's bred into it. It's part of it. Now, we've gotten pretty bougie.
We've gotten a spectacular. And I always think it's funny listening to JL and JT owners complain about wind noise or a little bit of leak every once in a while.
Yes.
When freedom panels go on and off or a little bit of through the door.
Yep.
And I'm just like, I was there when we had like the worst soft top designs in the world.
I was there when you had to scrape the inside of your windshield and your pasture door had snow on it.
Dave, you all right?
Dave, you okay? Off screen.
Wellness check.
Something just went real bad in this, just off the screen. Sorry, folks. We just want to make sure Dave's still kicking.
So, but I literally remember being in a friend's CJ7 and not having that experience. And we're talking in 86. So they was light years ahead of like a 46.
Yes. Right. A lot of technology there. And
Chip's in the comments, just so you know, iHeartRadio has an Eclipse playlist today. I'm not a total Grinch.
Oh, good, Chip. Thank you for sharing that with us. I'll probably be listening, FYI. There is actually, my wife sent me a whole playlist she's got synced up.
That's awesome.
We'll see. Yeah, totally. So this idea that we are attracted to some of those kind of quirks, some of those little unique things that make our community uniquely us. And ultimately, there are a handful of brands that really elicit this feeling. So the Harley community is very similar.
I'd say motorcycles in general, but definitely in the Harley.
Motorcycles in general, you got the wave, right? You've got kind of this bonding. You can go to a motorcycle ride.
You know, everybody's seen somebody on a motorcycle in the pouring rain, just manning up.
Hunker down.
He's taking it to the face, doesn't care.
Yep.
Fine with it, that kind of thing.
When I rode my bike, when we had our motorcycles back in the day, I always said oftentimes the stereotype of the angry biker was because they were actually just cold and wet constantly.
Yes.
When I was riding
taking bugs to the face.
Oh, and I'm gonna ensure that I like this. I like subjecting myself.
You know what? Somebody just got back from a good ride when they smile and you see all the bugs stuck in their teeth.
Yeah.
Now,
and when they pick on you and you have a full face helmet, like I always did.
Yeah. And the thing is, I love it because as many, you know, certainly older folks who know me know that I loved riding my 48 Willys. No windshield, no top. I commuted in it as a young man, and we're talking in my 20s, driving a flat fendered, flathead commuter, you know, which makes no sense. We're doing
it. Actually, it was a pretty good distance, probably 5, 6, 7 miles one way.
Oh, yeah, at least.
Yeah.
At least. A little more, yeah. And then round trip, and I'd run up and down to the beach and whatnot.
Pretty good trip in a barely stocked, never restored Willys.
Absolutely. And I'm doing it at a time.
How many
right
quarts
now
a
very...
mile did you get?
Oh, my God. Constantly topping off oil. Not as bad as my Comanche back when I was living in Pittsburgh.
Poor Comanche.
Oh, yeah, totally. Leaked like a sieve. But those types of things are, it's a Jeep thing you wouldn't understand. Why 100%. Would we subject ourselves to that? Why would we eclipse our heart and go, oh, you know, I was in my 20s, and there's plenty of 20-year-olds out there who are riding with leather interior and air conditioning and power options.
Especially,
and all that
kind of
stuff.
And you were kind of there for it, too, because didn't you have, like, a caddy for your prom and everything?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I had a caddy for the prom.
But then at the same time, you're over here and barely got a seat in it on a piece of plywood.
Yes. And I love every bit of it.
We will get flung from the vehicle for safety.
We die like men. Yes. That's the reality of the situation. But
passenger holds it in gear with her foot.
Oh, I remember that. That was right. You had to put your foot on the shifter at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Detents are a little worn. It's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Not a problem. But what is that drives us to enjoy these little bit of quirks? There are certainly stories of people going out on that epic motorcycle trip across the country where they just have a roll up and some basic provisions. As a young man, I remember growing up in the community that I was raised in, I remember being very enamored. There was three guys who graduated high school, and they got on rigid tail Triumphs and Harleys and drove to California. And I remember being like...
Because they wanted their rear end to fall off.
I remember being like, that is the coolest thing. Minnesota. I couldn't help myself. I just thought that is the coolest thing, right? But how many people really live that adventurous life? And I think that a talking point that my dad and I have always shared, that's what the Jeep brand, the Jeep culture, 100%. Even if you're not going to fully engage driving a 48 Willys, windshieldless, smoking, adding oil as
everyone
you go.
Should experience that once. Like, you should buy your JT, and then they should make you go for a little tour in a restored Willys, make it nicer, you know. But they should get that experience because they don't know what they're missing.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's...
My contention is it shouldn't be a restored Willys by Scott Brown because it'll be too nice.
It'll be too nice.
That's true. If you haven't cranked the Willys off the road by starter because it didn't run anymore... If you really live.
You know, and I feel jealous. I watch these guys and their flat fender stuff at this point, and you and I, it's kind of like, well, that's a little bit lost to time. It was before we did as much media as we now do.
Oh, yeah.
So people are unaware of what we kind of subjected ourselves to.
Yep.
We see all these Jeeps. I just watched a whole parade of them through Moab during EJS the other day, and I thought, good for you guys, and I see you, and I appreciate you.
Yep.
And I'm like, I did that. It's kind of, you know, I don't want to say it's out of my system. I do it again, but it's like the novelty has worn off just a little bit for me because I lived that already, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah. Back before cameras were so big and on everybody's phone.
It would have been a good time, though.
It would have been a great time. It's super cool. But like that rugged individualism is what appeals to us as a whole, as a community of Jeep enthusiasts.
Well, then what makes it even better is then when you find, you know, you're under putting oil in your Willys, trying to commute, and you see someone else doing the same thing, and you lock eyes and you go, I get you. You get me. We have a common bond now, and it's hard to quantify.
And that. I really think that's the symbolism of the Jeep wave.
100%. Oh, yeah.
And that is ultimately where we cross models.
Mm-hmm.
As a healthy community, right?
Well, we should. You, Jeep community, because when I had a JK, everybody in the JK waved at me, and JLs very rarely snubbed me. Now I'm in the Gladiator. All the JL and JT waves. JKs are kind of not here for it. If you're really modified, I get a wave. And actually, TJ snubbed me more in the JK than they do in the Gladiator.
Isn't that interesting?
It's interesting. There's a whole dichotomy on this thing.
I'll be honest with you. I wave like an idiot to everybody.
Well,
I want to be out there in my overbuilt, tunned out, you know, bigger than life nature.
You can tell.
I want to wave like an idiot.
When
to
somebody
everybody.
Really gets it, though, because if you go out with my wife, CJ, and they're in the life, they get so excited because they see a vintage Jeep.
Yes. And the challenge of eclipsing our heart is that there are things that, like, it doesn't, you know, so I guess when I think of our community, I think of, like, the Corvette community as well.
Oh.
talk about not eclipsing your heart, right? I mean, that is like keeping up with the Joneses, you know, 101. And, you know, everything has to be over the top, nicer than nice, you know, pastel polos.
Bet, but you can't keep it without.
Especially the older ones.
I'm with you, 100%.
Can't
I get,
your New Balances dirty, man.
I can't get the New Balances dirty. You know what? Real quick, for folks who are on my social and they saw my post over the weekend.
Yeah, you're showing some leg.
I this might be the summer where I get some white New Balances. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll have some New Balances.
He started the show
white.
Off with a dad joke, and he's going out with dad shoes.
Nice. So here's the Jeep life and the total eclipse of the heart, in the sense that, like, you know, these platforms appeal to us on a level that, you know, makes us put some of these creature comforts, makes fuel mileage goes on the back burner. And
yeah, I saw wind today noise somebody was excited on the Gladiator group. I got 17. Everybody's like, yay.
I'm like, who cares?
I'm going to tell you what the most it's a Jeep thing is that I saw yesterday. Temperature-wise, it was about 48 degrees when we were in Erie, and a four-door JLU drove by with the hardtop on, but no doors.
Nice.
Not a single door on it, and I was like, perfect. That's a Jeep thing right there.
Yes. Yes, and that's the beauty. Like, literally, we can drive around without doors on. Think about what we take for granted, the fact that our doors literally just come off.
Yep.
How many other vehicle platforms, the doors are just simply an afterthought, right? Yeah. I mean, there was a time where doors were literally an option.
Yep.
that's always an argument, especially in Pennsylvania, doors off conversations and litigious stuff.
Yep.
But our doors are literally removable. Mm-hmm. Talk about eclipsing the heart. There are people out there I have personally put into my Jeeps and my doors are off and the top's off, and they are freaked out because they're like, the road is right there. And I'm like, the road is always right there.
So, Kristen, you know, like, the first time we went doorless in the Jeep with Kristen, she was a little bit freaked out at first.
Sure.
Now it's every chance we get, we're doing top off, doors off, whatever.
Isn't that something? And that is the stuff that makes, you know, it's a Jeep thing you wouldn't understand, because other people are used to those creature comforts. Get in the surrounding.
Joe O'Brien's in the comments saying hurtful things. New Broncos doors come off. I don't care.
No, no. Doesn't look as cool with the doors off.
That
new Bronco doesn't look as cool, period.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I'm going to just be quiet. Going to be quiet. I'm going to let Darwin do what he needs to do. anyways, where does it go wrong, though? Where does it's a Jeep thing go wrong? I know, Jeffrey, you had talked about this a little bit.
I think where it goes wrong is when shops go, nope, it's supposed to drive like that. It's a Jeep thing.
I think is the eclipse of the heart where we're staring at it with our cheap import glasses, right?
And it's
burning it's a burning sensation that we don't get to experience until later on.
That there's literally Jeep owners out there that believe their Jeep drives like garbage because it's a Jeep thing.
Correct. That's, or they just the joke, and I understand the joke of turning a radio up louder and ignoring what's happening to your Jeep because it's a
Jeep
thing.
You get to a critical mass where sometimes some of that is true, but and the reality is lots of people give up way before they should on making it right or better.
Making it right or ideal, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a leaking Jeep. It's going to leak. Yep. But you can try to do things to make it
better.
That's
how you know it has oil in it. That's always the
different
phrase.
Kind of leak, but that's fine.
You're talking about the
water leak. I was talking
water
leak, but it's a convertible. It's going to leak. What convertible doesn't leak?
That's true. That's true. And that's the challenge with an auto manufacturer. And ultimately, we see the newest JLJT platforms. Those folks are in their social groups.
Leaks.
And they're going, my vehicle is leaking. And I'm like, oh, so you're new here. Let me show you around.
Yep.
You know, like, this is a Jeep thing. Like, that's just.
There's a reason the carpet is so easy to remove. There's a reason there is floor plugs to allow you to drain water out of the Jeep.
Right.
Now, it's still. The JLJT is the best it has been.
Correct.
But it's still.
In any model.
Mine will still leak in, especially at the driver's door where that seal's starting to wear out.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, you know, there are things that, you know, kind of eclipse our senses that.
Yes,
you know,
Chip, I'm looking at you. He said, what are you trying to say?
There are things that we do have to recognize the relativity of our platforms, right? And go, you know what? I am embracing the rugged individualism that this vehicle offers me. I'm not willing to bend and break and say, hey, this should be unsafe or I can't hand you the keys to drive it unless I've specifically designed it that way, you know, that it should still be a good quality operating vehicle for you. And that's that balancing act is the it's a Jeep thing you wouldn't understand. My obsession with it is the Jeep thing, right? Yeah. Our community, our ability to rally, the fact that we want to show up and drink coffee together in Jeeps, the fact that we get to the parking lot and we park next to each other, despite the fact we may or may not know each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You go into a random parking lot and you see two Jeeps in a row, you gotta go park by them as close as you can get.
100%. I was in the Dollar General the other day. I parked next to a Jeep and I do loosely, very loosely know the individual. And I, you know, parked next to him because that's, you know,
it's
a rule.
It's
what you do. And as I was, you know, pushing my cart through the Dollar General, I ended up, you know, kind of face to face. I said, oh, had to park next to you. You know, it's a requirement. And they looked at me like, who the heck are you? You know, and it's like, oh, well, I know your Jeep. Like, that's just the extent of
my,
it.
My favorite, though, is I've literally been in parking lots where there's all the open spaces up front, but there's a Jeep parked in the back. So then you see another Jeep pull in next to it. So then you got to pull in next to it. Now you've got this herd of Jeeps way in the back of the parking lot.
It's a Jeep thing.
But it's a Jeep thing. So you're parking by the other Jeeps.
Yeah, yep. That is the eclipse of the heart. It doesn't make sense. You got to carry your groceries all the way. Now, I always like to park in the back regardless, but not everybody's like me.
Yeah. You want to look at it.
You're the reason all the Jeeps end up at the back of the parking
lot. I am 100%. My kid gets out and is like, well, couldn't we park closer? I go, God gave me two good legs. One day I'm not going to be able to use them. Today I'm going to.
That's a good way to look at it.
Oh, God, yeah. I fully know what I've done in my life to get to where I'm at, and in this moment, I can walk those steps, and there's somebody out there who can't, so I'm going to park way out in no man's land. And that's just kind of what makes me uniquely me. But the concept of it's a Jeep thing you wouldn't understand is rooted in this eclipse of the heart. The fact that these things, these a little bit of subjecting ourselves to just not the creature comforts, not the Mercedes, yep, you know, S-Class, not the Tesla Model 3s, the whatevers, you know. Right.
Well, and that's, I still shock people with the fact that I have crank windows, manual locks, and they're like, why would you even want that? It's a Jeep thing.
Yep. Joe O'Brien, I think, or parking on the snow mounds, in the snow parking lots.
Those are Jeep spots.
If you were in the Blue Jeep crew a couple years ago, there was the Lowe's challenge where you went and parked on the curb.
Doesn't exactly make sense to anybody else looking into it, but it makes sense to us. And that was the takeaway on the fun of today and all the celebration that we're doing. So while you're out enjoying looking at the eclipse, I hope that you think of us, if you think about the Jeep life, the Jeep community, think about the NoCo can hat, that it's a Jeep thing, and all the funny celebratory stuff. We're going to be talking tech next week. I promise that, you know, it'll be less community and more tech stuff. So get your notepads out, do your research, and we'll be telling you all about automatic transmissions. Is there anything else for the good of the order, guys?
I think that's about it.
I think that's it.
I agree. We've got a lot of Jeeps to work on. We are going to be in the shop the better part of the day, but we're definitely going to take a break to be with our families, and we hope that you do as well. So if you don't reach us right away, that is why we're experiencing this this amazing once-in-a-lifetime sensation with the ones we love, and we're glad that you took time to experience it with us this morning. Until then, Jeep family, Jeep on.
Jeep on.
Jeep on.